Father, we just thank you tonight for your presence, and we thank you for the opportunity to sit in your presence. We thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your holy angels. Father God, we thank you that you're here among us to minister to us and to let us glean from your word what you want us to glean. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a brand new year. And I know we've been talking about joy and rejoicing. But I've been feeling the heaviness. Has anybody else felt the heaviness? Yeah, and I can't kick it. I don't know what it is. I keep praying about it. I don't get an answer for it, but there's a heaviness. And I didn't expect that, but it's there. And so we'll just have to keep it up before the Lord and see what's going on. That doesn't mean you don't go on. You just wait until God's ready to reveal to you what it's all about. Well, last night you were anointed for your ministries. And I know that the anointing was powerful. And God did a mighty works. Now I want you to start moving in your ministry. And don't be just sitting. You know, but just start moving and doing what God's calling you for to do. Tonight, God wants to talk about the missing ingredient in his children. And that missing ingredient is total commitment. And this is why God said, the missing ingredient in my house is commitment. Those who call me by my name do not commit themselves to the calling on their lives. See that? They commit themselves to all the devices of the world, but totally ignore their commitment they made to me when they received me as their Lord and Savior. Excuse me. This day I am calling the entire body of believers to commit themselves to me totally and completely, if they are to ever enter into all that heaven has to offer them. Tonight, I want you to just sit there. I want you to think about how committed are you to God and how committed are you to the calling upon your life. And it's going to be up to you whether or not you enter into that commitment, the total commitment. Acts 9:31 says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. Right here's all your ingredients to have a good ministry. Right there. If you don't have that, then your ministry is not going to prosper. And Acts 2:42 says, the fellowship of the believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now the saints devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That's another thing that the body of Christ is lacking. They don't devote themselves to the teachings that they hear. Commitment is an action on our part in response to God. There is no point talking about commitment unless we have at least the intention to commit. Many Christians drag on in the Christian life year after year in partial commitment to God. And if you think about before you really got full of the Holy Spirit, you didn't really serve God with all of your heart. You weren't totally and completely committed to God. It wasn't until you started learning about the deepness of God that you really committed yourself to God. So I said, many Christians drag on in the Christian life year after year in partial commitment to God. But according to the Bible, partial commitment is no commitment at all. And Jesus says, I wish in Revelation 3:15, I wish that you were either hot or cold. Cold means turning away from God altogether. Yet in the mind of the Lord, that is not quite as bad as being lukewarm. You're neither here nor there with God. You're just an in-between stage. So you may be 80% for God and 20% for the world. But the truth is that not even 95% is good enough for God. He requires of you nothing less than 100% total commitment. And I've been telling you that God told me that as soon as I became born again. I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you, or I don't want you at all. So I had to make a choice as soon as I was born again. Either it was all or nothing. I couldn't hold anything back from God. Many Christians are crippled in their Christian lives because of half-hearted commitment. They don't experience the joy and peace of the Christian life. They can't communicate with God, and God doesn't listen to their prayers. Many Christians are crippled in their Christian lives because of half-hearted commitment. They don't experience the joy and peace of the Christian life. They can't communicate with God, and God doesn't listen to their prayers. And that's a fact. The problem is that their commitment has not been settled. They are not totally committed to God. So you're not totally committed to God, but you want God to answer all your prayers. You want God to perform miracles. And when God doesn't, who do you get upset with? God. And it's you that's causing a problem because you're not totally committed to your call with God. Now, the subject of commitment runs through the whole Bible. If we take it out of the Bible, we won't have any Bible left to read because commitment lies at the heart of our relationship with God. God says the missing ingredient in my house is commitment. Now, this is what we read at first. I'm going to reread it, and then we're going to go on with what he said. The missing ingredient in my house is commitment. Those who call me by name do not commit themselves to the calling on their lives. They commit themselves to all the vices of the world, but totally ignore their commitment they made to me when they received me as their Lord and Savior. This day, God says, I am calling the entire body of believers to commit themselves to me totally and completely if they are to ever enter into all that heaven has to offer them. God said, without total commitment, there is nothing I can do for the body. But when the body totally commits themselves to the cross, I can restore all things. So you see, if God isn't restoring all things in your life, it's because you're still not totally committed to Him. And you have to stop and think in your walk with God, when things aren't going right, do you remember that you made a commitment to God, a covenant to God? And you have to receive whatever comes along with that covenant. Good, bad, or indifferent. You have to receive it and keep going with God. You don't have the choice to say, well, God, I just don't like that, and so I'm not going to do that part. You have to do whatever God is asking you to do. Now, on the basis of God's word, there is simply no way to live the Christian life without total commitment. All in all, commitment has to do with the most important subject of all, and that's our relationship with God. If your relationship with God isn't right, your commitment isn't right, and therefore your walk with God isn't right, and you're not going to get anything from God. Now, you guys in here that are teachers, that are leaders, you have to get this down in your spirit, because you're going to be ministering to people who don't know the word at all, and if they're going to get anywhere with God, they're going to have to know the truth, because it's a truth that's going to set them free. All right? Psalm 37, 5 and 6 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous rewards shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. If you're totally and completely committed to God, it tells me here that He will vindicate you. Hello. Come on. Now, I didn't say He's going to vindicate you right now. He might not vindicate you for 10 years, but He will vindicate you eventually. And so what you have to do is just keep walking with God, trusting and knowing that He is in control, and He is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. Now, God said, look deep inside yourself this day and ask yourself this question. Am I really committed to the Father, or am I committed to the things of this world? Am I really committed to the Father, or am I committed to the things of this world? Us, the eyes, all that stuff. What are you really committed to? Are you committed to anger? Are you committed to God? Because God says, be angry and sin not. I think too many of us are angry and we sin. Right? Here's a little story. The barnyard animals were talking one day about Farmer Brown. The chicken said, you know, Farmer Brown has been so good to us, we should do something to honor him. I know, why don't we give him a bacon and eggs breakfast? The pig replied, that's fine for you, you just have to make a contribution, which is the eggs, right? But for me, that's total commitment. He has to give his life. See that? God said, children, the Godhead is totally committed to you, and we are committed to seeing that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is bestowed upon you. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So you commit to God everything that you do, and he will establish your plans. God said, I am always just a whisper away to those who are committed to me and my ways. I fellowship with my body constantly, and there is nothing I do not know or see. He says, I'm just a whisper away to those who are committed to me. You're not going to hear him whisper if you're not committed to him. He's not going to be able to speak to you at any given second if you're not committed to him. He's not going to be able to interrupt your conversation and speak through you if you're not committed to him. You see this? Total commitment. You know, this is just like marriages. I really don't like to do weddings because when people stand up and say, I do, you, and I think, well, you, I do what? Commit myself to you totally and completely. You're just saying, I do, because that's what I have to say. Because I watch so many marriages fall apart after the I do. Why? Because we're not totally committed to go through this, see this thing through, no matter what they have to go through. And some of you aren't wise enough to know that it's not going to be a rose garden. That you're going to have to go through some ups and downs and ins and outs and roundabouts. You know? So you just walk away. You're not really committed. Romans chapters 9 through 11 tells us that God has, Romans chapters 9 through 11 tells us that God has been faithful to the nation of Israel in keeping every promise he made to them. If you read Romans chapters 9 through 11, this is what you'll find. That he has been keeping every, he kept every promise he made to them. And in the same way, we can count on God to keep all his promise to us as well. What does God say about this new year? Every promise he's ever made to us, we're going to receive. Now, what we were studied so far, you're only going to receive if you're totally committed to him. See this? We get all excited. Oh, God's going to answer promises. He's going to give us our promises. But how committed are you to him? And you know, just, you know, if you look at your own personal life, sometimes you're, all right, let's just say your children, God said, all your children are going to serve me. And so you're totally committed to God, and your kids are going backwards instead of forwards. And so the only thing you can do is say, God, you promised. And if you're committed to him, he's going to bring that promise to pass. Or if you're like me, I said, God, am I doing something wrong? Am I not as committed as I should be that my children are going backwards instead of come forwards? And he says, I can't change their will, but I've given you a promise. You see that? So I'm committed, but I just have to wait. In Romans chapter 12, that's what Paul is calling us to do, make a total commitment. God does not want us to make a contribution like the chickens did. He wants us to be totally committed. Read chapter 12 and you'll find that in there of Romans. All right, so God does not want us to make a contribution or even to make a sacrifice. God wants us to be a sacrifice. The pig was going to have to be the sacrifice, right? Often we think God is pleased because we contribute a little. We get up early and come to church. We reach in our pockets, put a couple of dollars in the offering plate, and we think God is impressed with our little contribution. But he's not, because you don't come to church for the right reason. You don't come because you really want to. And I'm not saying, you know, if the shoe fits, puts it on. But, you know, some people just come because that's what they think they have to do. It's not, or they, all right, so if you live in this building, you think, well, I got to go down there in the sanctuary or I'll get chewed out. Yes, you will. You know, it's not because your heart's not in it. You just know you have to do it. You're not committed to do it. Where am I at? When we want inward real transformation, how does it come? It comes by renewing our minds, by thinking different. So that's what you have to do tonight. Renew your minds about the way you're thinking about your commitment to God. Actually, that is what the word repentance means, to change the way you think. When we want inward real transformation, how does it come? It comes by renewing our minds, by thinking different. You're not supposed to think the same way. Actually, that is what the word repentance means, to change the way you think. The world has conditioned us to think a certain way, but repentance is when we change to think about things the way God thinks about them. And I don't see that. Do you see that happen in the body of Christ? No, it doesn't. They just say, well, Father, I just received my Lord and Savior, and they just stay the same. They don't ever change. Then as you go through deliverance and the spirits are taken out of you, you still fuss with God because there's some things you don't like about what he's doing or didn't do. You know? You have to change the way you think. The world has conditioned us to think a certain way, but repentance is when we change to think about things the way God thinks about them. John 8:32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many times has God preached that to us? You know, he gives us a teaching, he gives us a truth, and we're supposed to take that teaching, that truth, and be set free with it. But we aren't. We fuss about it. We meditate on it. We question it. We never let it change us. And we have to let it. If we're going to minister to other people, we have to let it change us first. If we really want to break free from the world's way of thinking, if we want to break free from the trap of all Satan's schemes, if we want to break away from worldliness and self-centeredness and all types of negative thinking, what do we need to do? We need to come to the Word of God. You're not going to change any other way. I watch people try to change themselves, and I never see it work. Do you see it work? It's only whenever you apply God's Word to your life and then start changing the way you think about things that your life starts changing. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? This is how. By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Then 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. See that? Here's another little story. You've heard the story before about the man who needed answers, so he flipped open the Bible and put his finger down. I've heard people do this. It landed upon Matthew 27:5. And Matthew 27:5 says, so Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The man thought to himself, God must want more than that for me. So he tried it again, and his finger fell on Luke 10:37. And this is what Luke 10:37 says. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. The man started to get a little scared, and he thought to himself, I'll try it one more last time. And his finger fell on John 13:27. What you're about to do, do quickly. You know, when I read that, you know, John 13:27, my first husband, one time I was going to work in the morning and I was walking up the ramp and he was over by the garage and God said to me, tell him what he's going to do, do quickly. So I called his name and he said, what? And I says, God said, what you're going to do, do quickly. I got divorce papers the next day. You know, and so every time I read that scripture, I think about that. So anyhow, if we really want to make wise choices in life, we need to make a commitment to change by living our lives according to the Word of God. To do that, we need to read and study the Word of God so that when we are faced with choices, we can have a mind that is ruled by the Word of God. Now, how many of you have had to make choices and you take the Word of God and you read the Word of God and you apply it to that choice you have to make, and then you do what God's Word tells you to do instead of doing it your way, and it works out. Really, truly, everything you come across in life, I have found out in my life, is in the Word. There's an answer for it in the Word. There's a solution, you know, there's a plan in the Word that you can follow to get you through anything. So how do we change our lives through the Word of God? Simply put it as a choice of the will. That is a reality of commitment. The reality is that our mind controls our bodies and our will controls our mind. You can choose what you think about. You might say, no, things just pop into my head. But you control. You decide whether those thoughts are going to stay there. The sin that comes is not being tempted with a bad thought, with the temptation to do evil, but the sin is when we choose to indulge in the wrong way of thinking. How many of you have been fasting and you know, and you get a thought, you really should go eat something. You're not hungry, but you get the thought, you need to go eat something. Now, it's up to you whether or not you entertain that thought, right? I've entertained that thought many times and lost my fasting. That was my choice. I could either choose not to think about that thought, or I could choose to go get something to eat. And then after you eat, you said, I don't even like it. Why did I indulge in that? Too late, you already messed up your fasting. You understand what this is all about. Satan may tempt you with wrong thinking, but let your will control your minds. Don't allow yourself to give in to sinful thinking, because as we just heard, your will controls your minds and your minds control your body. If you're into pornography, your mind says you need to go turn on the computer and look at pornography. You can say, no, I'm not going to do that. But I found out most people say, that sounds like a pretty good idea. And then they indulge in that. And then afterwards, they sit and cry and carry on like they're crazy. Why did I do that? Well, you did that because you let your mind control your body instead of your will. All right. Now, if we really want to break free from the mold of the world and we want to be inwardly changed to be different, not led astray by the schemes of the devil, then we need to renew our minds by applying the Word of God and choose in our wills to be committed to following God. Read that again. If we really want to a lot of people don't want to break free from the mold. If we really want to break free from the mold of the world, and we want to be inwardly changed to be different, not led astray by the schemes of the devil, then we need to renew our minds by applying the Word of God and choose in our wills to be committed to following God. Finally, when we do that, what is the result? The result of commitment. As we've already said, it is a life that pleases God, a life that proves God's will is best, and a life that praises God through sacrificial worship, and that is a life that will stand out like a spotlight on a hilltop. God says, don't cover your light up with a bushel, right? The problem that we face is that too often we want to make a glorious one-moment commitment for God. We only commit just for a second, then we're back to our old lifestyle. And we can't be doing that. God needs total commitment. I'm going to tell you, if you don't get this total commitment down in your spirit, you're going to find yourself on the backside of the desert with no way to get free. You're not going to be able to move forward unless you totally commit yourself to God. I live a life that I have to stay totally committed to God, or I'd be dead and in hell by now. And that's the truth. Because the enemy throws everything at me he can possibly throw. And I'm not the only one. Some more of you sitting here do the same thing. The enemy throws everything at me he can possibly throw at me to try to make me become uncommitted and just give in to what he's telling me. All right? So some of you know what I'm saying here tonight. You know how bad you're fought day in and day out. And you just have to be totally committed to God. And you're going to have to constantly let the devil know that you're committed to God. I mean, you're just going to have to do that. I don't belong to you, God, a devil. I belong to my Father. And I'm not going to do what you're trying to get me to do. I'm going to do what my Father's telling me to do. Amen. All right, I said the problem that we face is that too often we want to make a glorious one-moment commitment for God. And that is what the idea of commitment is all about. If we want to stand out, to break out of the world's mold, we need to transform the way we think. Why? So we are internally changed on the inside and forever changed. Forever changed, and every day we choose to focus our wills and minds on living according to the Word of God. Why? Because we are absolutely convinced that everything our God calls us to do is for the best and that He will reward us for our faithfulness. Are you listening here? Do you know how many souls out there are waiting for you to become totally committed to God? Do you realize how many souls are out there that are waiting for you to get out of your selfishness and self-centeredness and get your mind stayed on God and on this harvest that we're supposed to be bringing in? There's so many souls out there just waiting for the body of Christ to get it together. But a lot of people sitting in the body of Christ doesn't understand commitment, and therefore they're just sitting there half-heartedly working for God, not even knowing they're doing it half-heartedly because nobody's teaching them for one thing, and they're not understanding their word for another. And they don't see you walking in love walk at all, period. We have to be committed to that love walk too. We just are. Or we're lost. We're totally lost. Romans 12 is Paul's transition from doctrine to duty. In light of the mercy of God, we live a life committed to doing the will of God. You know, there's nothing complicated about the word. It is very simple. He laid out before you simply, but people don't read it. They don't study it. And they just go about their daily day, like they always did, not understanding they have to change. I know it's hard to change. I've watched people. It's very hard for people to change, to get out of let's just talk about a woman who lives in an abusive relationship with a husband, you know, who gets beat around all the time. And, you know, they get, somehow or other, somebody can get them help and get them out of that situation, but they turn around and go right back to that abusive situation. They can't seem to break that mold. They go right back into it. And that's the way it is with the body of Christ. They come, they're in sin, they come to Christ, but they don't really work at changing, and they go right back into the world again. They're not committed. Well, all right, with the person I'm talking about who was in an abusive situation, they got out of it. God said, I made a way of escape it with him, right back into it again. They weren't committed on staying free from that abuse. And because they weren't committed to stay free from that abuse, the man sweet-talked them back into it again. And I said, why would you want to go back into that when God made a way of escape? I don't know. It's because they were not committed to be free. Now, how about you tonight? Are you committed to be free and stay free? Are you committed to do the will of the Father and quit doing your own will? You know, you don't have to stay in an abusive situation. Now, by that, I mean with the enemy always coming at you and defeating you. You don't have to stay in that abusive situation. You have a will. Use it. Just use it and make the devil leave you alone. God said, as I stated earlier, little ones, total commitment is the only thing I am accepting. Total commitment is the only way you will be continually blessed beyond measure. Total commitment is the only way you will be part of this great harvest. Total commitment is my word for the day. Either you are in or you are out. There is no other way to enter into the fullness of my kingdom. You are either all light, which means totally committed, or you are all darkness. Let's read that again. Can they hear me in the bathrooms? Good. As I stated earlier, little ones, total commitment is the only thing I'm accepting. Total commitment is the only way you will be continually blessed beyond measure. Total commitment is the only way you will be part of this great harvest. Total commitment is my word for the day. All right, when God says total commitment is the only way you will be part of this great harvest, you have to be committed to go anywhere God sends you to go to win the lost. If he sends you out on the streets where the drug addicts are at, that's where you have to go. If he sends you across the world to Africa, that's where you have to go. If it's in your own home, you have to stay there and you know, let your light shine and be committed to see your family being saved. If God tells you have to stay in Delaware, then you have to stay in Delaware. No matter what, you know, people might offer you to, this is what happened to me. Somebody said, I'll build you a church in Florida if you'll leave Delaware that's cold, close to God. I'll build you a church, and that thing will grow. But I said, I can't go because God's make me stay in Delaware. I am committed to do what God's told me to do. I've been in about every state there is, and believe me, this is the worst one. It really is. All right. Total commitment is my word for the day. Either you are in or you are out. There is no other way to enter into the fullness of my kingdom. You are either all light, which means totally committed, or you are all darkness. Or you young guys came from Virginia, which is a beautiful place. The hills and the mountain, you know, all that, the trees and the valleys, to this place. Flat. Water. And I know you'd rather be, I would be, if I was in your shoes, I'd rather be back home, where the beauty is, but now you're committed to be here. Now, are you totally committed? You know. And think about this. All right. God said, this is a very special night for my body of true believers, for I am here in all of my goodness to bring you to a place of total and complete excellence in me, a place where the enemy cannot walk. See that? The place where the enemy cannot walk. This place is a place in me that will be a place of total commitment to my will and my ways. God says, come unto me this night, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you supreme rest. Just not rest, I notice, but supreme rest. Come, I say, come unto me and walk into my very essence and become the man or woman, child, that you were meant to be, totally committed, with no place to turn. But forward. No place to turn but forward. God said, this is the hour of complete deliverance from all that hinders. In this place of total surrender, there is no place to turn around, for it is a straight path of eternal righteousness that has already been paved out before you. See that? This is the hour of complete deliverance from all that hinders. And in this place of total surrender, there is no place to turn around, for it is a straight path of eternal righteousness that has already been paved out before you. On this path, you will be in continual worship of who I am and where you are going, being totally led by my Holy Spirit continually. You have to be so sold out to God that you won't make a move unless God directs your footsteps. You know, over the years, we've had people come in here, and you and God has given them a word and said, I don't want you to move. I want you to stay rooted. And he didn't mean move, stay in this church. He meant stay in Delaware. I want you to stay rooted here. There's a purpose. Well, that wasn't God, they say, and they up and they move. 6 months later, we get an email with him crying an email. Oh, I'm here. I'm destitute. Don't have a home. Don't have any money. What am I going to do? God told you not to move. but you chose to move. You were out of God's will. Now you have to figure out what you're going to do. I don't have a plan for you. You know, God had a plan for you, but you chose to go your own way. All right. Matthew 11:28-29 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." God's calling us to come unto him with our heavy yokes, because his yoke is light. How many of you said, "God, this yoke is really heavy. I just can't carry this." And he says, "Give me what you can't carry, and you carry the rest." And he takes that heaviness off of you, and he gives you peace, and he gives you rest. Why? Because see, you're totally committed to him, and when you're totally committed to him, you're honest with him. And you say, "I just can't do this right now." There's many times I say, "God, I just can't do this right now, what you're asking me to do. It's just really too much." And he says, "I know." He said, "You rest, and I'll do the warfare for you." Because the enemy comes in like a flood, and he just tries to totally wipe you out. And he will really try to lay more on you than you can bear. And when that happens, when you have more than you can carry, that stuff God didn't give you, that's the stuff the enemy is laying on your shoulders. And if you're totally committed to God and you talk to him about it, he will set you free from the yoke that he did not want you to carry. I want you to understand that life is life. Facts are facts. And the Word of God is the Word of God. And we have to live life, even though we're committed to God. You don't quit living life just because you're walking with God. And God's saying, if we would just rule and reign in the heavenly places with him, we will be able to live life, no matter how hard it is. And we will become overcomers through all things. Now, I'm asking you tonight, this is God asking you tonight, what have you determined in your heart to do? What are you determined to do in the future? Just not this moment, but what are you determined to do in the future? Are you going to commit yourself right now? Or are you going to commit yourself for the entire race? You can't quit in the middle of the race, because we know he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy. So you have to decide tonight what you're going to commit yourself to. It's either 100% or say, "Father, I'm just going to walk away." That's what it comes down to, right? Because we just read he doesn't want just 99.9. He wants every bit of you. So what kind of commitment are you going to make tonight? I don't know about you, but I serve a God who cares about me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet from inside out. He just doesn't care about my little finger. He cares about all of me. And if you're serving the God in heaven, if you're serving Jesus Christ of Nazareth to hang on the cross, then he cares for you just like he cares for me. He's no respecter of persons. If you will commit your ways to him, then he commits himself to you. That's what he said here, didn't he? So the decisions are totally and completely up to you. What are you going to do about it? You know, when I said earlier that souls are waiting for you to get yourself together, so you can bring them into the cross. Today, you know, I was trying to help Ted Young get hospice and stuff, and I was on the phone, but I went out of my room and went into Teddy Lynn's apartment. Next thing I know, everybody's screaming and yelling for me and carrying on. The baby screamed top his lungs. And I said, "What's wrong?" And Jimmy said, "Don't you ever leave his sight again without telling him where you're going." And he just cried hysterically, so I couldn't find you. And God said, "You know, that's how I cry when my people leave me and I can't find them anymore." He said, "It breaks my heart. I have put so much into them." And he said, "They walk away from me." You know, that just really went straight through me And I know that I know Isaiah needs to know where I'm at 24/7 because he knows I protect him. But you know, God knows where you're at 24/7. And he knows what's in your heart. And he cries because you're not as committed to him as he is to you. So God said, are you ready to let go of the worldly junk? Are you ready to receive all that heaven has for you? If you are, then he wants total commitment. And he's saying, do not make a commitment that you cannot keep. I only want you to the altar if you know that you know that you know that you're going to commit yourself 100%. Never ever looking back again. Or never ever questioning God why you're in the place you're in. That's the only ones I want at the altar tonight. So the altar's open if you want to totally and completely commit yourself for the rest of your life to serving the King of Kings.